Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, we see Jesus led by the Holy Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. I don't know firsthand what temptations you faced this week, personally. I cannot look into your heart, and you cannot look into mine. Because of the Holy Spirit's words here in Matthew 4, we can actually see firsthand the temptations that Jesus experienced by the devil. We can also see firsthand the victory Jesus won for us. For us, whose temptations are so real and even overwhelming, it is sure comforting to know that Jesus experienced a very real temptation and a very real victory for you and me. The Holy Spirit wanted Jesus to be tempted by the devil. This temptation happens immediately after Jesus was baptized and immediately after the Father said from heaven, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Do you want proof Jesus lived the perfect life you and I could never live? Then look at these temptations he went through and the victories he won for us. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus allowed himself to become very hungry. His body was weak. He is tired. The book of Hebrews tells us that he was tempted in all parts as we are, yet without sin. Jesus could have used his power as God to make his feelings of hunger go away, but he did not. He could have used his power as God to deaden the pain he was experiencing on the cross, but he did not. Jesus is going to go through a very real temptation and gain a very real victory for you and I. Satan spots the opportunity to take advantage of Jesus when he was weak and hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." There were lots of stones out in the desert. Jesus certainly had the power to take one of these stones and then turn it into a freshly baked loaf of bread. As you know, or you don't know, I'm a baker. I am a chef. I love bread. I grew up in a country also, Morocco, where bread is our staple. I mean, we eat bread with everything. Sometimes I dream of warm bread out of the oven with Irish butter and sweet clover honey, and a cup of coffee made with fresh ground coffee. Doesn't that make you hungry? Yes. Sure does, even if you already had breakfast. The devil knows, has an uncanny ability to spot us when we're weak, when we are at the weakest moments. He offers shortcuts instead of trusting in the Lord and the power of his promises that never fail us. He whispers to us and he says, "You are going through a rough patch. Throw a pity party for yourself. Indulge yourself. This is much better than relying on the Lord and remembering how much he loves you and he cares about you. Pop another pill. Pour another drink. Go right ahead. Indulge yourself. Indulge your fantasies in the internet. Buy something you don't need at Costco. It will make you feel better. Remember Job, who lost all of his wealth, 10 of his children, and then his health. In the lowest time of his life, his dear wife told him to just give in to his feelings and emotions. She told him to just curse God and die. Jesus emerges victorious. He says, It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Moses spoke these words to the children of Israel when they were depending on the Lord to provide them with a daily provision of manna from heaven. Even more important than this amazing food called manna was the promise the Lord had given to provide them with that food. Jesus won the victory because Jesus trusted in the promises of his heavenly Father to care for him rather than satisfying his hunger with stones turned into bread. For all the times I have failed to trust in the promises of the Lord for strength and help, Jesus has not failed. His perfect trust led to a perfect sacrifice on the cross. His forgiveness is real for all the times you and I have given into temptation. His promises found in the Word will never fail. They will help us fight against every temptation. It was the Apostle Paul who said, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. As Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13. Satan does not walk away after being badly beaten and bruised by Jesus. The scripture says, then the devil took him up to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Satan carries a Bible with him, if you will. He is good at quoting scripture and using it to lead people into temptation. He's also good at leaving out certain parts of scripture to serve his own evil purposes. If you read these verses from Psalm 91 carefully, and in their context, you will discover the devil left up the word in all your ways. The Lord provides us with protection in all our ways, which are also his ways. That is why we always pray as Jesus did, not my will, but yours be done. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than ours. Notice how the devil tempts Jesus by twisting the truth about the protection of angels. He is suggesting to Jesus that he allow his heavenly Father to show how much he cared for him by sending angels to protect him after he jumped off the highest point of the temple. Certainly, we believe that God's angels protect us and then keep us, as Psalm 91 says. He will command his angels concerning you. So, what does Jesus do when he was tempted by the devil in this situation here? Again, Jesus quotes another verse from scripture to defeat the devil. And Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus did not pray, oh, Heavenly Father, let me do it my way. No, he prayed, oh, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but yours be done. Jesus stayed faithful to the task. He did not cut corners or take matters in his own hands when he came to being wounded for our transgressions and then bruised for our iniquities. When he died, he prayed, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. His real victory is our victory. His blood cleanses us for all the times we have tested our God by not relying on him as we should. Satan keeps coming after Jesus, he keeps coming after us. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. he said to him, "All this I give you if you will bow down and worship me." This temptation seems to be clumsy, seems to be so foolish, seems to be a desperation shot from half court with only a second left in the game. He was desperate. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Satan shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in all their splendor and glory. Here is a panoramic, sweeping view of the great pyramids of Egypt and the grandeur and splendor of Rome and in Mayan temples, the temples of ancient Greece and the Great Wall of China. Behind the glory and splendor is an unbelievable human pain and suffering. Jesus had the power to change the world and make it a better place to live. People wanted him to be their bread king and provide for all their earthly needs. That's not what he came for. Of course, he does that too. But he came to save our souls. We may have compassion for people who suffer pain, and even for animals that suffer pain. But no one cared more for people than Jesus Christ. Satan is real. My dear friends, Christian friends, Satan is very real. I want to share with you a temptation of mine. As you know, maybe some of you don't know, I'm a former Muslim. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ back in 2001. I lived as a Muslim for 39 years. And when it came the time where I started searching for truth, the true God, God opened my heart to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And I began my catechism at Faith Lutheran Church on the corner of Southwest 25th and Chartel in Oklahoma City with Pastor Raines, my dear friend. And as I am going through my catechism, being catechized in a small catechism, getting ready for my baptism, not baptized yet, I received a call from Morocco. As you know, that's my hometown. That's my country of birth. I received a call that my mother passed away. And I didn't go. Both financial situations, and then there was other things that led to that. We'll share that maybe in some other class, because it would be a long sermon then. It is as long as it is right now. 4 days later, my mother passed away on a Thursday, November 4th. And then 4 days later, on a Sunday evening, I received another call that my dad passed away. Right? Now, my parents were not in a car accident. They weren't in a tornado. There are no tornadoes in Morocco. They didn't fall off a plane. My mother had a stroke. She survived for 3 months. She couldn't make it. She died. And my father said, "Oh, well, I'll go too." And he did. At the age of 63, both of them. I went home to give my sister a shoulder to cry on, give me one to cry on. I spent there 10 days, came back. Although I notified my work, when I came back, they fired me. Because they didn't think that was a true story. And also, they didn't think I would come back. Remember, this is 2001. Going to Morocco, 9/11 just happened. So you're not expect somebody to come back. And I lost my job. And then I'm back. And then I'm thinking, should I go ahead and go on with this catechism stuff, this business, this Christ? Well, I just lost my parents. And as you know, whether you know or not, Allah is a vengeful God. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe because I veered from the path of Allah and now I'm embracing Christ, that's why. See, Satan, he tries to tempt you, either before baptism or after baptism. And I know some of you, most of you here, you opened your eyes in a church. Your parents brought you when you were 8 days old. You never knew a different faith. when you are 39 and you are in a fork in the road. You have Muhammad who is dead, right, in the ground, and you have Jesus that who is alive. He never died. So who do you follow? Which one you go with? Which one you listen to? And on top of that, as you're trying to embrace Jesus Christ, here comes Satan. Satan comes and taps on your shoulder at your weakest moment, when you're weak and vulnerable, just as he did with Jesus. If he did it with Jesus, he can do it with you. And I am sure all of you has a testimony to say about Satan when he tried to tempt you. Let me tell you something. When Jesus comes to you and tempts you, put your sneakers on, the best sneakers you have. Tie your laces as tight as you can, and then run. Run towards Jesus Christ. Run into his arm. And the way to run into his arm is to stay in the Word. Because that's how I run into Christ, because of the Word. Because my best friend's wife, she asked me, she goes, "Nordine, how are you feeling?" When I just came back from Morocco, I said, "I don't know." And she said, "Go read Psalm 46, because she knew everything. And I did. And once I did, I rested in the arm of Jesus Christ. Because Satan has not a hold on you. Jesus died for your temptation, each and every one of them, big or small. So make no mistake about it. When he comes, you run. Jesus set his heart on serving his heavenly Father faithfully. He did not listen to any alternate plans Satan had to offer. To give up the cross, even for a split second, would be tantamount to giving in to Satan and worship him. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus won a real victory over real temptation. Angels come and minister to him. Jesus' victory is your victory. He gives you the power and strength to say, "Away from me, Satan." And so we pray, "Lead us not into temptation." Amen. Now may the grace of God, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.